I'm going to read a scripture, and let me start there, and then we take it from there. I think that's the easiest to do this. Okay. Let's turn with me to Matthew 28, for those who have the Bibles with you. It's a familiar scripture, and I feel it's only relevant that we read it on the day, but we just go from there.
I'm going to pray for you.
Yes, you may.
Yeah, let's pray for our brother, Errol. We just thank you, Father, for Errol. Thank you, Father, your Holy Spirit will be on him now. Jesus, as he encourages us from the Word. Just be with him. Stir him and just give him words Jesus to name. Say that will inspire us, glorify you, encourage us in our walk with you,
in Jesus. Name.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Ray. Amen. Amen.
Love you,
I love you too, but so the title is Jesus Has Risen. In this particular passage in Matthew 28. So let's read from verse 1 and we'll end off midway through. After the Sabbath had dawned on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were also afraid of him and they shook and became like dead men. Now I've got to picture that one quickly. Let me pause there for a moment. Because now, firstly, when you see an angel, I mean, my goodness, you'll be in awe. But what the Bible says is there was something that spoke and the earth spoke, because the earthquake took place. Not just the heavens, the earth spoke. And then what happened is, and listen to see what happened to the gods, because if you are watching something and you see an angel come, my goodness, you'll run away. But here's what they did. Here's what the Bible says. They became like dead men. Now, for those who know animals, there's possums. They fake and they act like they're dead just so that they can be inconspicuous. So I pictured that. On that day, it's like, there's an angel. Just go past me. Because that's what I saw. Because, yeah, play possum. Because truthfully, This is significant stuff. But now you must also remember, they are aware, the gods now, of what's happening because they knew that he was crucified. Also remember, there was a lot of talk at the time in the cities. Who is this? What is happening? And so when something like that gets fulfilled, in my view, not the commentaries only, but the chances are they knew exactly what was taking place. Because you must also remember, people were slain. Christ, God slew some people who didn't obey him. And so they knew in that way. Did I say slew? That's a word. Yeah, it sounds so cool. Slew. Okay. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know who you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Those lines, as we know in this world today, in a space of 24 hours, has been read more times now than any other scripture today. Now, let me explain this to you what happens. When a song is released and it gets X amount of hits, it gets to the top song in the world. And so people vote or they purchase these songs and people get awards for this and that there are various awards for it. What happens with scripture, is there any awards given for it to be read the most scripture in the world in the last 24 hours? But let me tell you spiritually what is happening. The Bible is clear throughout history from Genesis right through, and the earth will speak. And the blood will speak. And the word of God will come forth, not returning void unto itself. Amen. So when this word goes out, what is happening today? The fact that the whole world will hear that he is risen. Amen. Not just some people, the whole world. So what does it mean now? That we will be held account for that which we know. Whether you're sitting in this church or not, this word will go out and you will hear this Day after day. And notice how some people greet each other today and over a few days. He is risen. Whether you're a believer or unbeliever, greetings, he is risen. And so the word of God is so true. I want to start this a little bit with a phrase and a quote that Sheldon said. For those who were here on Good Friday, he preached a powerful word. But there was one line that just captured my heart at the end. And for those who couldn't recall it, I will mention it. He said this, Jesus gave his life. They did not take his life. That was such a powerful word. And I went to Sheldon afterwards and I said to him, for me, that was the missing link of a piece of the puzzle of what I would like to share today. That Jesus gave his life. They did not take his life. It's a very different thing. He knew that when he was born onto this earth, that one day he will give his life for you and for me. You must remember the rollout of this salvation plan means that now we have a responsibility to do what? To hold our lives? To give our lives. And that's why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else that we think, dream, or imagine will be added unto us, because it's in finding Christ that everything takes place. So there are three people I would like to characterize this morning as part of this resurrection story. The first person is the one that just stuck with me for months, is the thief on the cross. There were two. The one was ruthless. He was swearing. He was saying, who's this man? If you follow the scriptures. Now please hear me today. As much as the writer was trying to put in as much into the scripture, there are some things that is not said. So sometimes you have to also use your imagination. So I'm going to use mine because I like using mine. So just picture this. Jesus has walked. We understand the road that he's taken for us. He comes into this cross. And truthfully, there's a conversation going on there. Yes, the soldiers did what they did. But there were two people next to him, both with different hearts and different spirits. The one person, now firstly, the writer said that they didn't name them, but there are some theologians that gave them names. But it was purely just for them to appease themselves, in my view. But what happened is that the one criminal, he was speaking against Christ. And I'll go there now in scripture. What happened to the other one? He acknowledged Christ, but also there was a request that he had with Jesus. So picture this. In this world today, we have those that are against Christ and those that are for Christ. But let me ask you to also picture this, because this throws my theology out of the door. Because how can a request that was made, he wasn't baptized in the water and the Spirit, and then and Jesus says, today you are with me in paradise out of a request he made. How is that possible? And so I struggled with that, and I'm going to read something for you, and then I'll explain what God showed me through his word. So what we find is that this thief that was on the cross, the one that was basically cursing God and was speaking, I want us to go quickly to Luke 23. Let's go there. So let's fast forward quickly. I just want to go quickly to verse 6 and 7 before we go to the latter part. Jesus was before Herod. When Pilate heard the word, verse 6 and 7, when Pilate heard the word Galilee, he asked if Jesus was a Galilean. And when they told him yes, Pilate saw a way out of his problem. He knew that Antipas, the son of Herod, ruled over Galilee, and he happened to be in Jerusalem at the time. So Pilate sent Jesus to Antipas. Firstly, we must understand that the government of the day, like today, don't know what to do with Jesus. What has happened then is still happening now. The government of the day don't know what to do with this public holiday. Because they officially, it's not actually a holiday for us. For some people, they have to take leave. Because they don't always recognize some of these things. But what happens is also, the government doesn't know what to do with Christians when it comes to understanding with what Jesus is all about. In Canada, for example, you're not allowed to preach the gospel in a certain way. In Canada. Because what happens is, and this is why, because the church is trying, the government is trying to control the church. In some communist parties, we understand that, but even in democratic countries, the gospel is not allowed to be preached like this. You cannot preach. There are certain words you cannot use. It gets censored. That's a big one. You can't use the word sin anymore now in some countries. So they don't know what to do with us. Because we speak what truth? God's truth. Now you must understand, which I've heard this argument before, sorry, can you stick to your truth? Because I believe in my truth. So what I like about that is when you read the Word of God, that is your interpretation. And this is my interpretation. And we've got to be careful as Christians today. Are we going according to the world to take God's Word to suit ourselves? Or are we going to be like the one thief on the cross and just to heal? What I like about the one thief, he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus. Both had an opportunity to do that. The one chose to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ just there on the cross. When we go through suffering, when we go through struggles, when our backs are against the wall, are we encountering Him? Because truthfully, we can phone a friend. We can contact the bank. We can phone this one. Or are we going to the source, to Jesus Christ? Because the opportunity is there. You see, this cross that was there for all of us allowed us to have choices and still allows us to have choices today. We need to choose to heal or to rebel. As much as what we are born again, blood washed, we can have also a rebellious spirit to the things of God. Because you must understand, when your life is at stake, are you going to compromise at the loss? Because Jesus did not. He knew what He was standing for. He saw you and He saw me. He knew that His blood, His redemptive power, there was a people waiting for this redemptive power, because one day, a few thousand years later, they're going to call out to this name, where they're going to live in a country that needs to hear the Lord, and they are going to need to understand the power of the blood of Jesus. Because you must understand that Jesus Christ knew that within Him lied, there was the power of life and death, and choices that people need to make. I just want to read the last part. So as verse 26, as the guards was led Jesus to be crucified, there was an African man, the crowd by the name of Simon. But I want to jump to 27. And massive crowds gathered to follow Jesus, including a number of women who were wailing with sorrow over Him. Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. You should be weeping for yourselves and for your children." There's quite a few communities. There are groups of women that meet that speaks about the affairs in either their villages or in their communities or in their townships. I'll give you an example. A few years ago, a group of ladies, they're known as the Gogos, as we know, in Khayelitsha, collected money over a period of time and was concerned about the young people in Khayelitsha. They approached an organization and they said, "We want you to teach these young people to play marimbas. But here's what we want you to do. We want you to go and look at the Guinness Book of World Records And we want you to beat that with the most musicians, marimba players, playing the same song at the same time. And we, most female, by the way, band, we had the privilege, including Tiffany, to be part of that in Cape Town, just here. And the Guinness World Records was broken by the most young women playing the same song at the same time on marimbas. Why am I using that as an example? There are ladies here in this room that you've gathered others around you, and you say, why am I just meeting here? You are changing generations. Because as you gather, you have concern over them. And look what Jesus said to them there. You need to be concerned about what's happening there. And so in our communities, there are things happening. Are we concerned because we see what's happening in the news, or are we hearing God's voice where he's calling us out to say, and yeah, I'll quote this. He says, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. You should be weeping for yourselves and your children. There's a generation that we are crying over. And you as ladies in particular, that God has given you that ability. You have far, I was going to say better sense than us as men, but that's not true. Because I was going to, yeah, yay! No, but you are tuned to the things of God in the way God has designed you to fight in the spirit, where we as men sometimes don't see that. You are attuned to things. Listen to that voice. Don't switch it off. Why do you think there's so much happening with regard to gender-based violence in our communities? It's not just the enemy running havoc. Yes, that is true. But we understand this, that if the enemy can silence you as women, and your voice, you cannot affect another generation. This generation and the generations that will come is dependent on you. Turn your hearts to what God has called you to do. Let me come to the end of that, and I want to go to the next few passages. Go with me, for those who are following, verse 14. And the criminal hanging on the other cross. Okay, let me go back because that's quite significant. 37. And over Jesus' head on the cross was written the inscription in Greek, Latin, and Aramaic, the man is the king of the Jew, of all the Jews. And all the soldiers laughed and scoffed at him, saying, hey, if you're the king of the Jews, why don't you save yourself? One of the criminals hanging on the cross next to Jesus kept ridiculing him. Now I'm going to pause there. Throughout the world in history, we have seen that the way people are being ridiculed in their workplaces, the church. Notice the tactic of the enemy, because if he's trying to, especially amongst people whose feels with the emotion and are sensitive around things, if he can get to you and people ridicule you, notice what happens. It affects your self-esteem and your self-worth. Now, we must not fall into the trap of the enemy, because that's an old tactic and trick. If we understand who we are, if we know that we are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ, we don't need to hear those voices and agree to it. And that's the kind of havoc that has been playing on this earth today. Oh, but it hurt my feelings. Don't you know who you are in Christ? You are then more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ, who strengthens you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And notice the tactic that is still used from that time to date. So then he says, what kind of Messiah are you? Save yourself and save us from this death. Now again, in my imagination, he didn't say it so nicely. In my view, there was a lot of swearing going on there. In my view, there was a lot of ridicule and foul-mouthed discussions going on there. I'm quite intrigued when I go sit in a public space, how people speak to each other. So I'm picturing that, yeah, because nothing has changed. I can almost imagine that on the cross, yes, the soldiers were there, but there were people speaking and were foul-mouthed. And in the midst of that, Jesus still stands true to the way God has called him as a son for us. Why am I saying this? Because we get distracted. Who are you to speak like that in front of me? They're going to speak behind you, in front of you, any way they want. You just stand your ground as to who you are. You're not going to change that right now unless you understand that there comes an opportunity that that redemptive power will touch them and they have an encounter with God and you have access to them. Because their hearts are hardened. Because you're going to see what happens. And the criminal hanging on the other cross rebuked the man saying, "Don't you fear God? You're about to die. We deserve to be condemned. We're just being repaid for what we have done." That heart. Just see what has happened. This criminal, in actual fact, some commentators say he was a good criminal, if there is one. He's referenced as the good criminal. Okay. Sorry, it says, "We deserve to be condemned. We're just being repaid for what we've done. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "I beg you, Jesus, show me grace and take me with you into your everlasting kingdom." Notice he knows the terms there. He knows the words. This criminal, now we keep on saying, "Oh, they don't know Jesus." Do you know that more secular artists and actors know about Jesus than some of us here put together? Because some of them come out of Christian homes. They come out of homes where their families are being saved. They hear the gospel. If you hear the interviews and some of them, they know the gospel. They do. And so he knew the lingo. And he says, "Into your everlasting kingdom." And Jesus responded differently. He says, "I promise you this very day, you will enter paradise with me." Did he ask him if he was saved? Did he lead him through to himself? Did he go through a prayer or a process? Did he fast for a period of time? Did he allow him to go to Bible study first and Bible school and then says you're coming to the kingdom of heaven and be baptized in the Holy Spirit? You see, the day you encounter Jesus, everything changes. No church, no tradition can hold you back from what God has promised you when you encounter him. But here is the key. You need to encounter him. It comes with a contrite heart. It comes with a heart that is repentant, that has repentance. How's that going to elude me now? Repentant heart. Thank you. This is the Easter eggs of the pickle fish. It's making it. A repentant heart. That's the word I'm looking for. Because you see, when a repentant heart is at work, Christ can do what he needs to do. The Bible is very clear. Do not harden your heart. Come, let's move. Let's change gears. Let's go to the next person, which is Mary and Martha. I'm aware of the time, so I'm going to wrap this up as quick as I can. So, there's a beautiful scripture and a passage where Mary and Martha, they with Jesus, right? And so Martha at the time is just busy with some things because there are guests there, there are the disciples are there, Jesus is there, and Mary decides to go and sit at Jesus' feet. Now what is interesting about this is it's again a depiction of us in what we do. I'll give an example. We can be having a service like this and it can be blessed. And we encounter Jesus. But we'll always have a Martha in the room. Because in that, you can be sitting here, but you're working out what your schedule is for the next few days. You're really deciding where you're going to go, what my appointments are. Oh, can the preacher just get done now? Because you know what? I've got important things to think about. While you're in church, I can see a lot of people being honest Christians and shaking their heads. Now listen to, this is not to lambaste Martha. Because truthfully, Martha was an industrious woman. She, in her time, it was very difficult for women to run their own business, let alone be in ministry and to provide events and things which she did. But now we must understand, there comes a time when we need to prioritize who's in the room. We need to prioritize in our lives who's in the room. Because you see, as the thief encountered Jesus, he also wants you to encounter him in your personal space. Lord, I got to vacuum, I got to do all of this. Then when I'm done, I'm going to spend 10 minutes with you. This is my devotional time. And God is saying, can you leave the housework? I just need to spend time with you. But till what time, Lord? There's such a lot I need to do. We've got to look at how we do life. Because both Mary and Martha loved Jesus. Both of them. But Mary made a choice to sit at his feet. What does that mean? She heard his teachings. She caught his heart. And not because she was the favorite, but she was obedient at the time. And notice that Jesus called Martha by name twice. Martha, Martha. Now firstly, if my kids hear me call them once, and I can hear this in some homes as well, you need to come. Now again, the Bible doesn't speak about how Jesus did it. Okay, you don't hear his tone. You don't hear that in the scripture. But just picture this. Is it Martha, Martha, come here? Is it Martha, Martha? You hear the escalation of the voice. Because truthfully, when Jesus calls you, he firstly calls you once. But if you're not listening, he calls you twice. And he's saying, come to me, to where I'm at. How many times has he called you in situations and circumstances, and we're too busy with the things of what we need to get done for him, more than to sit with him? Lord, I'm doing this for you. But he's asking us just to sit at his feet, to hear his word, to let his word massage over us so that we can meditate over it day and night. When God calls us, he wants to commune with us. He wants us to commune with him. Let the busyness of what we do not be a hindrance to where we are going in this phase of our lives. I'm going to close off with the last one. Lazarus. So the first part of what I wanted that I mentioned on the criminal on the cross is that he encountered Christ. Mary and Martha, Mary sat at Jesus' feet, she listened to his word, and she made time for him. Now with Lazarus, we need to know that he's always on time. I'm going to paraphrase the story, but I'm going to do it in a way because of time. Because when you read the scripture, I pick up the nuances and I'll read it now in a short space of time. But you must remember, Jesus knew Lazarus was sick. Mary and Martha are the people he loves. The Bible is clear and speaks about that. What actually happened is that he heard about it and he says, he's asleep. And we're going to do this first. And some people are sitting there and thinking, what's happening to Jesus? Is he losing the plot? Because they heard he was sick. 4 days went past. And I want to turn to that scripture, please. And then I want to end off with that. Are we okay? John 11, let's go there. Now there was a man named Lazarus. He was sick. He was from Bethany and the village of Mary and the sister Martha. So that we know. I'm going to fast forward there. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, verse 3, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death, nor it is for God's glory, so that God, the Son of Man, may be glorified through it. I'm going to go fast forward to verse 7. And then he said to the disciples, let us go back to Judea, because there was a whole discussion there. But in verse 8, but Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews were tried to stone you, and yet you want to go back there. Jesus answered, and are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. Now, I want to just tell you what I picked up from this. I'm not saying again, this is what commentary is. I'm picking up the tone of Jesus here. And I pick up that Jesus is teaching them something about himself, that he doesn't get nudged and shoved by our agenda. Because picture what he's saying here. He's saying, I hear you, but I know what the Father's called me to do. So I hear what the Father tells me to do. How many of us can say that with confidence? That we hear what the Father says to us to do. Now, Sheldon and I, we have this thing when people come and see us, the Lord showed us we must go to another church. So we can't argue. Because the Lord showed you. Because when we start from that premise, and it's not as a criticism, we're not there to argue again, because the Lord spoke to you, and He does do that. But then there's also people that come and says, like I've heard some people say, I need to marry someone. What did the Lord say to you? I'm like, to me? But the Lord then spoke to you. Because people want a confirmation from someone else. That happens. I'm like, God speaks to you because He wants a relationship with you. Because sometimes we go to prophets and we want to hear from God. That can only confirm what God has already spoken to you about. Please, that's witchcraft. Because when you go to someone for their view and opinion, that is not of God. You've got to hear His voice first for yourself. Fresh manner. Not stored up. So verse 11 says that after He said this, He went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. Jesus' view. He's fallen asleep. The words of the disciples were different there. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, listen to their sarcasm now, he will get better. Jesus has been speaking to of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So they say sarcastically, his disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. They were very sarcastic with Jesus. This is my tone. I'm picking this up now. Ne? So verse 14. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. He got a bit annoyed there. Because Jesus again is saying, you're pushing your own agenda again. Notice the conversation here, because we read this and we see Jesus in this glory of what he has. But he was a firm Christian. He stood by his beliefs. He stood by what God has called him to do. Listen to me. If we are followers of Christ, stand by your beliefs and what God called you to do. Jesus modeled it here. He wasn't swayed by those he loved. Not by just the world. It was his disciples, by those who he loved. Last one. I'm wrapping this up. And so then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, like I said, I was not there. Go 16, sorry. Then Thomas, also known as that name, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. More sarcasm. As if they didn't hear enough. Now let me explain why I read that last part. Because we have encounters with the Lord here. Then we go into our week, then we want to tell Jesus how we must run our lives. Lord, can you please make sure that I need to pay the bond on this day, that you make provision for me on that day, please, Lord. Because that's what happened there. Because we find out that when we set the agenda, we got to maintain it. When God sets his agenda, healing comes to your house. That which is dead is alive. Lazarus came, by the way, fourth. Was it third or fourth? He came. And you know what I liked about that scripture? And the way I pictured it, he was tied up. Okay, he was mummified and he was wobbling according to the scripture. That's the way I saw it. And then Jesus sees this little thing. Because now, listen to me firstly. If this was my friend who was tied up, I would have loosened stuff, right? But now the friends were in shock because Jesus did what he said. Because none of them went to go and help him until Jesus said, go and do it. Because by nature, if my friend is tied up, I'm going to go help you. So what I pictured, their jaws dropped. And yes, Lazarus coming. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. You picture that? Because that's what I pictured. But here's what happened. Jesus did what he said he was going to do. When Lazarus was sick, he fell asleep according to Jesus. Meaning, I know what is... And the Bible, by the way, read this, says that that power of Christ who is in me is also in you. That means whatever has happened and what Jesus can do, we can also do. Come, let's stand. The power of Christ that we are celebrating today, that has risen, that same power is in you and it's in me. That same power can raise people from the dead, can heal the sick, can break every chain, can come and cast out every demonic force and power. That same power is in you, in Jesus' name. Lord, we honor you that you have died for us, that you have given us this opportunity to understand that this power that has risen you from the dead is also alive in us. And can, Father God, we honor you that you have given us these vessels an opportunity to be Christ-like on this earth, to be like Christ in everything that we do, that we say, in our nature, in how we do things, in how we view the world, in how we view you, Lord, that we will stay focused, not like Mary, like Martha sitting there and understanding and moaning and groaning, but we be like Mary that will sit at your feet. Yeah, and will be like that criminal, Father God, next to you, and have a heart that yields to you and have an encounter with you. That we will be, O Father God, like those that understand when Lazarus was risen, has risen from the dead, that we have the faith to know that you're on time and that you're in time. So we pray, Lord, that you bless us in this day, in the week that lies ahead, that you go before us, this risen King, amen, this great God, the one who was and is to come, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 Oh, hallelujah. How's that for oversight on my side? I was so excited with this preach. And people are like, yay, we're going home early. Oh, yes. Okay. Come, Pastor. Just lead us, please. Yeah, if you don't mind. Yeah, thank you. That's it. I was going to do it as families, and you just roll with it. No, you go with it.
Errol.
Yeah, I'm there.
Jerome.
Daze. All right, amen. All right, so let's go and get a glass and some bread, but as families. So not all kids. If the parents, you can just get for your children. You can do share glass. That's all okay, unless one of you got a bad cold. You don't want to be sharing and caring with everybody. But just do it as families together. Amen.
Thank you. No, sorry. Thank you, Shelvin. I was too excited with this preacher, bro.
Your strength is free flow.
Yeah.
When you just free flow.
No, it is. I got my stuff, but you know, you just flow
awesome
with it. Yeah.
It's awesome to see you up here doing stuff.
Thank you.
Like
thank you.
All the help this morning.
Yeah, that's cool. Thanks for praying for me this morning. Bro. Thank you. Oh. I want to show this morning because I realize you're holding so many spaces. Yeah, it's too many. I said to Tino, because we didn't plan the last couple of parts, and I said, it's time we get the guys to meet them.
So when you've got that, let's just all get together as families and we'll all just do it together in honor of our King today. Amen. Yeah, you can stand, you can sit, you can do whichever you feel.
To come together, because mine are scattered there somewhere.
Yeah, families. Errol's looking for his family. Yes, where's his family?
Thank you so much. Well done.
Tiffany, Terri-Ann, Tia Moore, it's not long until you officially family. Yeah. Okay, are we all ready? We're going to do this together? No? No, you're getting juice? There we go. There comes the family. It's not yours, eh? No, okay, just checking. Yeah. We got to do the wedding first, pal. Yeah. Better late than never, but there you go. Okay. All right, we're all ready. We're going to do this together. And acknowledging, you know, we are four family here. It's together that we do this, okay? And Jesus, on that night, he was betrayed. How many of us have people against us? On that night where people and that man Judas was against him, he took bread and broke it and gave thanks. And as we eat of this bread this morning, we are giving thanks for what he's done to us and for us as families and that together. Let's eat together as families before God. Amen. And then Jesus took the third cup. It was laid out as the covenant Passover meal, which is meaning, will you marry me? It speaks about marriage. And his disciples, well, why do you take that cup? because he's inviting them into a covenant of marriage now with him. And he's now ascended on high. He's risen. He's alive. But because of this covenant, he promises us he's coming back for us. And that's what we drink of this morning. That's what we drink of in this covenant of this blood that speaks a better word. So let's declare this. Speak this over your families. Speak this over your homes, that this blood would cover and would protect you and carry you. Let's drink to the name of our King Jesus. Amen. 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 So, Father, we acknowledge you. We thank you, Jesus, for the price you've paid for us. That as we celebrate here this morning and lift you high, we pray that as we go from here, as we have meals with families and different scenarios, we are full of life and understanding about the power of what you've done for us. And we part us with your blessing now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a fantastic day and a good rest tomorrow. Amen. Thank you, Errol, for a fantastic word.